It is my privilege to hand back to Jim to bring the message this morning, and however you'd like to do that. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Julie. Really appreciate your welcome and the welcome of everybody here. I remember his name. I'm just wondering whether I should say anything. Thank you very much, Paul, for your help this morning, but also I'm just so impressed. I mean, I've come here this morning, and Jean and Royce and Dennis, you've got such professionalism in the people that look after the things like the overheads and the sound. I've been places and I've been praying hard during the service that they just stop playing with all the buttons. You guys are wonderful. I think that they deserve some honour for their dedication here at 8:30. Just before I start, that song that just came to me before, I just feel I want to start there. Let your spirit fall in this place. Let your spirit fall in this place. We're praying now. Let your spirit fall in this place. Let your spirit fall in this place. Nothing I can say, nothing I can do will bring power. It's up to you. So let your spirit fall in this place. Sing it with me if you want to. Let your spirit fall in this place. Let your spirit fall in this place, Jesus. Let your spirit fall. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. We ask you that you will touch every heart in this place, that you will open every heart in this place, that you will prepare us for what you want to say to us and what you want to do in us and through us. And Father God, I ask that you'll guide what I say and what I do during this next time, that you'll be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for those of you who were at the wedding yesterday, you know that there was a technological difficulty. I went to do a thing, went to open my iPad. It wouldn't open the ceremony. I was there stuck, and Matt came to the rescue and helped. But today, no such difficulty. I opened my iPad and there it was. The worship was there. I opened it just a minute ago, and some of you may have seen me go down there to sit down, and that was because when I opened it, I'd saved the sermon that I wrote 2 weeks ago. And God spoke to me earlier in the week, and I changed the whole message, and I thought, what am I going to do? So I got down there on my phone. Julie said, Julie's my wife. I'm not allowed to mention her name, but you could welcome her if you like. I can see her shaking her head in the front row there. But she said, bring your phone, bring your laptop, bring everything just in case. And I'm glad that for once I listened. Now, I was very impressed with the communion message, and I'd like to say that I've been able to do all those sins in one day. And I'm not sure that that's good either. But so this morning what I'd like to do is bring a message. I mentioned that I'd had a different message. It was a really good one too. You've really missed out. But I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me about bringing a message on God's love and his healing power. And I don't know whether that's healing in your mind or in your body or in your emotions, or you need relations restored, relationships restored. But I believe that God's speaking to me about a message of healing this morning, and I trust that it will ring true in your spirit as I bring this message. The whole principle this morning is that our Heavenly Father loves you. He loves you. He knows the plans that He has for you, plans for good and not for evil, plans to prosper you, give you a hope and a future. He loves you. Everyone in this place probably knows the verse, John 3:16, for God that He should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved you that He gave His Son for you. In 1 John 3, 1-3, it says, see what great love the Father has given to us. We're called God's children. And we are His children. This is the reason the world doesn't know us, because it didn't know Him. You whom I love, now we're God's children, and what we will be hasn't yet appeared. But when He appears, we'll be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is, and everyone who has this hope purifies themselves just as He is pure. 1 John 4:10 says, this is unconditional love. Not that we unconditionally loved God, but that God unconditionally loved us and sent His Son as the means of forgiveness for our sins. Communion message. You whom I love unconditionally. If God loved us unconditionally like this, we owe it to unconditionally love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if you unconditionally love one another, God remains in you, and unconditional love is complete. This is how we know that we remain in Him. He has given us His Spirit. Now, I was reading in Numbers this morning, and Moses got to a point where he actually, all the people were complaining, got no meat, want meat, want meat. And Moses got just as upset with God as the people did, as it turns out. He goes to Yahweh and he says, what do you want me to do? Where can I get all the meat for these people? How am I going to feed them? And God says, well, don't worry, I'm going to give them feed for a month. He said, well, how can I get meat for a month? Do you want me to kill all the cattle? What if I took all the fish in the sea, I wouldn't have enough? And Moses was pretty upset. So God said to him, well, get 70 elders and call them all out and stand them around the tent of meeting, the tabernacle. And so Moses did that, and the cloud came down, and God spoke to these men out of the cloud. Must have been a pretty big day, you know. God actually speaks to you. But two men, and their names were Eldad and Medad, and both of them actually mean something like to do with love. Somebody prayed this morning in the prayer meeting that I'd say things that weren't in the notes. Well, we're starting that way, so thank you for that. Both of those names, Eldad meaning love of God probably, or close to that, and Medad meaning the one who is loved, a participle in the Hebrew if you really that. And so these guys stayed in the camp. They decided they didn't need to come to the tabernacle where God spoke to everybody. And yet the Holy Spirit fell on them there and they started to prophesy. My feeling is it was something like speaking in tongues, because it was something when people in the camp saw it, they thought it was strange. And sometimes when people see us speak in tongues, I'm sure that they think it's strange too. I certainly used to before the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And so this one young man, he went and told Moses and he said, these two are prophesying in the camp. And Joshua got all upset and he said, shut them up. That's literal in the Hebrew. I thought that was cool, but anyway. Moses said, and this is the point. He said, if only all of God's people had the Holy Spirit on them, and if only all of the people prophesied. And my prayer this morning is that this isn't about me, but this is about all of God's people being filled with the Holy Spirit, all of God's people moving in the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and bringing healing in their families and their homes and their workplaces and their schools and their relationships. Now, for healing, faith is important. Jesus, on occasions, did say, your faith has made you well. And so this morning I'd encourage you to have faith, but this is not a message about faith. This is a message about God's love. And so I want to bring just three things as quickly as I can, which is probably not going to be quick at all, but as quickly as I can, that position us for the work of the supernatural. Now, I pray that at least one of these might speak to you in the position that you're in at the moment. And the first one is the position of helplessness. In some cases, you don't have to do anything at all to be in a place where God will work with supernatural power. I'm going to give an extreme example in a Bible verse. By the way, I think that they're going up on the screen as I'm saying them, but you can look them up, but I'll probably be too quick with some of them, so I'll apologize. But there's a story in Luke 7 about Jesus raising a man from the dead. Now, if you're dead, there's not a lot that you can actually do to get God's power. Would you agree? Yes. And so we have this story starting in verse 12 of Luke 7. Now, as they approached the city gate, a dead person was being carried out for burial. His mother was a widow, and he was his mother's only son. There was also a considerable crowd from the city with her. The owner and master, Jesus, saw her and felt compassion for her. He said, as if he didn't know, "Why are you crying?" He came and touched the coffin, and those who were carrying it stopped. Then he said, "Young man, I tell you, get up." The dead person sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear took a hold of everyone, and they praised God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared amongst us, and God has visited his people." You know, I've seen this. I've seen that fear. I was in Peru some years ago. I was in our church in Sutherland. By the way, greetings from Horizon Church in Sydney. Our main campus is where our Prime Minister attends, and when I get the opportunity, I love to tell people how I've seen that man on his knees at the altar with his arms stretched out on the stage begging God for help. And we pray for him, and I trust that you do too, but he's a man who loves God. And so I bring greetings from our church, and we're now at the St. Andrew's campus of that church, and I know that Paul knows Adrian Gray, who is the minister there, and he needs our prayers too. He's been very ill. But I was in the Sutherland Church one day, and a man named Robert Barriger had spoken at Hillsong Conference, and he came to speak at our church. And he spoke about going to this remote village in Peru, and he spoke and was invited back to lunch. And during the sermon, before lunch, all of the congregation fell asleep. And at lunch, the pastor and the people that were there with him are saying, "Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for coming." And he said, "Look, I appreciate you thanking me, but I don't understand it. I came, I put 16 people to sleep, and you're thanking." He said, "You don't understand. You're coming, a Western person in a suit gives our church credibility in this very pagan village, and we will see growth from this moment." And at that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said this: "You can put 16 people to sleep, And on the basis of that, because I'd booked, I had a song doing well in Europe and the record company wanted me to go to the States and to Europe and Julie was coming. On the basis of that, I booked an extra week in the front and I went to Peru. And I went to these villages and I didn't put anyone to sleep, but I saw some miraculous things. And on one day, and it's too long to tell too much of the story, but on one day there were these criminals and prostitutes and drug dealers who weren't allowed into the refugee camps. There'd been an earthquake. And we prayed for a lady. I sang a song and asked for people to come forward. And they all sat in the wall. And I forgot they were sort of the bad people. And they're sitting on the wall, frown. And I said, come forward if you need prayer for healing or you just prayed for that prayer for salvation. And eventually one lady started to shuffle forward. And she had very bad arthritis, and as she was coming forward, I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to pray. She's got bitterness and unforgiveness, and you need to pray for her. So I asked her if she was struggling in that area, and she nods, the translator's speaking for me. And so we prayed and we dealt with that, and then our daughter's suffered from rheumatoid arthritis since she was a little girl. And I knew the pain that was involved, and I started to pray for this lady, and the bones were all cracking and going straight in my hands. And then she turns around and she walks. She's no longer shuffling, but she walked back. And so another lady came forward, and she said she had emphysema. Somebody later told me that she had AIDS, and we prayed for her. And she was rattling. And we prayed for her. She stopped rattling. She was breathing normally. And then somebody else came forward with a bad back, and I prayed for her, and she was healed. And then I saw this lady wheeling a wheelchair up, and I thought, and now what am I going to do? As if I'd had anything to do with the others. And so I start praying for this girl in the wheelchair. She's about 18. I later found out that she'd had two walls fall on her during the earthquake. She couldn't stand up. She was in terrific pain, and she needed two people to hold her up while they dressed her. And the mum wheeled her up. She was about, I guess, 17 or 18 or 19. And I start praying for her. So I'm praying and I'm coming against spirits of infirmity, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, tell her to get up and walk. 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 I'm praying harder. Tell her to get up and walk. And so eventually I summoned the courage and I said, would you like to get up and walk? And the translator said something to her and she stood up out of the wheelchair. And I thought, she's going to sit down again. But the translator, there was a... the evangelist lady there, and she said something to her, and she went like this, and she went like this, and then she went like this, shaking all the time, like this, and I thought, she's going to sit down again. But the evangelist lady said something to her, and by this time there was no one against the wall like this. They were crowded around us. And the evangelist lady took her by the hand, and no longer shaking, or she said, let's walk, or something like that. And they walked through this crowd and they started screaming in fear. And we prayed for people for 2 hours in the sun till I had blisters on my arms and my nose from sunburn. And as far as I'm aware, every single person got healed. And Robert Barriga actually sent the photo of that young girl around the world as his one of his monthly newsletters. And I thought it happened all the time. I thought that's what they must be used to over there. But I met up with them a couple of years later at another Hillsong conference and saw the guy who was my translator, and he says, oh, so good to see you. We're still talking about that week when you came over. And I thought that it was, you know, just normal. God is here to heal. God is wonderful. God is faithful. And we're going to go into a time of ministry shortly. I'm not sure how I'm going to do that because we can't really put hands on each other at this time of with COVID. But my prayer is that you might be able to come as the crowd did in Matthew 14. John the Baptist, this is from verse 12, John the Baptist's disciples came and took away his dead body. That's John the Baptist's dead body. Then they went and gave the news to Jesus. Now, remember that John the Baptist was related to Jesus in some way. Mary went and stayed with John's parents when she was pregnant. And so this was maybe a cousin or close to Jesus. And when he heard of the death of John the Baptist, he left there to go by boat to a place where there would be no people. And he could be alone. Why? Because he was man like you and I. Totally man, totally God. He wanted to grieve. But the crowd heard and followed him on foot from the cities. When he arrived, he saw a large crowd and he was moved with love for them and healed their sick. Sometimes Jesus does a miracle purely because he loves you. There's nothing that you need to do. Like those people in Peru, like the dead man that we read about earlier, like this crowd when Jesus was mourning, Jesus loves you and he is here to do a miracle. He is here for those who are totally helpless. Amen. Praise God. If we're going to praise God, let's praise God. The second thing that we can do, apart from being totally helpless, is actually beg God. Begging is a position we can take. In Mark 1, from verse 40, a person with an infectious disease came begging Jesus and falling on his knees before him, saying, "If you want to, you can make me clean." Moved with love, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him and said, "I want to be healed and be clean." Immediately the infectious skin disease left him and he was made clean. And again, Jesus healed, moved with love. We're not to back down from asking God. We're not to back down from begging God. It's a position that God wants us to take. Jesus, that is, told the story in Mark 18 about how it's necessary to pray all the time and not become discouraged. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who didn't fear God or respect people. A widow in that city came to him and said, "Defend me from the opponent in my legal case." For some time, the judge didn't want to do it. But after this, he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or respect people, because this woman is really causing me trouble, I'll defend her in her legal case in order that she won't keep coming to me and completely beat me black and blue." That's pretty much what the Greek actually says, to beat me black and blue. The owner and master said, "Hear what the unjust judge said. Now, won't God take revenge for the ones he has chosen when they cry out to him day and night? Will he be patient over them? I tell you, he will quickly take revenge. But will the Son of Man find faith on the earth when he comes?" God wants us to at least have enough faith. You know, the word pistis, here's another thing that wasn't in the notes. In the Greek, it means faith. It's translated faith in most places, but it means to trust. And it's like a light switch. It's either on or it's off. So if you trust God, it's momentary. If you have great faith, you just have that switch on all the time. If you have little faith, you turn it on when you need it and you turn it off when you're worried. Some people come to me, and if you're suffering from anxiety and worry, there can be a spirit behind it. I'm not denying that. But most of the time, when I do it, and I'm very good, I could teach it if you really need to struggle and can't worry for yourself. When I do it, it's just sin. You know, it's my light switches off. I'm trusting me. I'm trusting circumstances. But faith is when we turn that light switch on and leave it on and decide that God knows better than we can and he's got a perfect plan. There is one more thing that I would like to say, and again, it's the communion message, so thank you so much for confirming what I think God was saying to me. A sad paradigm in our world today is that people believe they can live any way they like and still have the full favor of God on all they do. And sometimes they seem to be prospering when Christians are suffering and struggling. We can look and we can make a judgment, but many years ago I came to the point where I was talking to Paul this morning and I said, well, I think it was just before we were praying or it may have even been after, but I came to a point where either the word of God was completely true and demanded my whole life, or it was just a crutch, and I was wasting my time really with church, because what did it mean? And just in case you were wondering, I came to the conclusion that the word of God is the word of God. And so God's word is God's word. Our Heavenly Father says that he won't be mocked and that our sin will surely find us out. Now, I don't want you to hear what I'm not saying. You still won't be guaranteed or deserve any action from God. That's positive, isn't it? However, you'll place yourself in a position where the enemy of your soul has no legal right to limit your authority. And so I just want to finish with two things. If you want to make sure you're in that perfect place for God to move on your behalf, A, submit to God and stop sinning. James 4:7, so submit to God, be hostile towards the devil, and the devil will run away from you. No use resisting the devil if there's sin in your life, because the devil then has a legal right to oppress you. You can resist all you like, but if you don't submit first, it's a waste of your breath. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Set your heart apart for God, you doubters. Be distressed, very sad. Let your laughter be changed to sadness and your joy changed to depression. Now, I like the other verse that says, let your mourning be changed to dancing. I like that one, but this is equally scripture. You know, there are not contradictions in scripture. There are different contexts in scripture, and this is a different context. If we want our mourning to be changed to dancing, we first have to submit to God, and that means repenting before him. And the only way we can resist the devil so that he'll flee is when we submit. We can never fight the good fight of the Christian life in our own strength. It would be a bit like trying to defend in a war environment against a jet fighter using a bow and arrow and a spear. The weapons we fight with are not carnal, but spiritual, for pulling down strongholds, and we need to use those weapons. And Jesus said, repent and be baptized. That just means that you say that you're done with sin and you're going to change your thinking about how you see sin, that you realize how God hates it, and therefore you're going to decide you won't have it in your life anymore either. I'm just conscious of time, and so I think that really sums everything up. In a nutshell, you can't do anything to deserve, earn, or manipulate God's power or his love. However, he loves you so much that he's here for you, for those who are helpless, for those who are begging, and for those who will submit to him and turn from sin. Now, in a minute, we're actually going to pray for some healing. But before I do that, I'd like to do two things. First of all, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me this morning, and I don't know if there's anybody in this room that struggles like I have done from time to time with unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment. But it's one of those things that so inhibit God's ability to work. You know, I believe that God's power to heal is here in this room, but our unwillingness to let go of thoughts that we have towards others just might be enough to let the enemy stop God from doing what he'd like to do in your life. And so I want to do two things. First of all, I want to pray that we get set free from any thoughts of unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment that are in our heart. And when we forgive somebody, I think the important thing, and as many of you know, the important thing is that we don't do it for the person who wronged us. God gives us the ability to forgive people so that we're released from the grips of the person who did that wrong to us. Julie and I were talking about someone coming down in the car, and Julie said, you know, the problem is that that person's husband doesn't care that that person is struggling, doesn't care that she's distressed and having certain days during the year where she's so upset she can't function. He's started a new life and gone off somewhere else with somebody else, and there's nothing that she can do about it, and he's not suffering at all, only that woman is. And you might be in that place today where somebody did something in your life and you're really struggling to let go of it. And I believe that today's a turning point. You know, it just might be a little offense, a little bit of judgment, as again was in the communion message, a little bit of criticism of somebody because you just think a little bit. Now, nearly every time I pray this prayer with people, I've got to forgive some people myself. So we're all doing this together. And then I want you to keep your eyes closed when you've done that, because I like to pray a second prayer. And that's for people who've heard this message today and either you've never really made a connection with our Father in heaven through the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, or maybe you did a long time ago, but you know it's just not been reality in your life. And so after we pray that, we're going to just mention that again, and we'll pray a second prayer. But in the midst of this prayer, just want to give you, not long, but maybe 20 seconds or so for the Holy Spirit to remind you of anybody that you might need to forgive. Is this okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we repent of sin, particularly the sin of holding on to unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment and having any root of bitterness in our hearts. We renounce all spirits behind unforgiveness and resentment and bitterness. We break the power of unforgiveness over our lives and over that of our generations in Jesus' name. And Father God, right now we choose to be forgiving people And right now, and I want you in your heart to just say, I forgive, and then maybe whisper it out or say it in your mind, but I forgive, and I'm just going to break for a minute. So right now, I forgive.